All right, just want to point out a couple different things here. We're going to talk about a mother that was threatened with a $122 a day fine. She had a Halloween display, and they had a petty issue. I don't know if it's your HOA or how this comes down, but they wanted to fine her $122 a day for a Halloween display that had Trump in it. Now, she has, it's basically a car with like a fat head of Trump in the driver's seat and a fat head of Biden in the passenger seat. And then on top of it, there's like someone that's been hit on the front of the car. So it's like a dummy on the car. It's something that's funny. I know some people get out of hand with their Halloween celebrations and all the different things they're doing. Sometimes it looks unbelievably scary out there. But this also applies to if somebody has a Trump sign in their yard or a Harris sign in their yard, shut up and leave them alone. Yep. It's their prerogative to put it in their damn front yard.
Their property.
I've seen the people knocking on the doors like, I don't like your Trump sign in your front yard. I've seen the people out there stealing the, you know, Waltz Harris signs and going, what are we doing here? Like, is this helping you? Do you feel great about yourself?
Can I throw one at you?
Mm-hmm.
The people that are on the corners telling you, you know, vote for whoever. Mm-hmm. I've seen somebody pull up and argue with them for saying vote for someone. Just keep moving. Keep it moving.
I forget where it was, but they stopped a guy from, or tried to stop a guy from walking in with a Trump hat on. So, or with the MAGA hat. And they're like, you can't go in and vote. And he's like, there ain't no dress code here to come vote. It's just ridiculous. So, a couple other things here. I mean, look, it was just a typical Halloween thing. I actually think the thing out front is funny. I would understand it if they had, like, Trump hanging from a tree or something like that. All those different things. Moving on to the next story, which you guys will have a lot of fun with here. Let's talk about this woman who decided to use something interesting for her Halloween costume as she dressed up as Chucky. Everybody was like, wow, this costume looks realistic. Really realistic. I think I just put those two words together. Where'd you get this fake blood from? It's not fake blood. She used period blood.
What?
Yes.
What?
A Rio de Janeiro native explained that she loves to go beyond the ordinary with her costumes, adding that using her own blood seemed like the perfect choice to make the look more realistic and visceral. Photos show the bombshell donning a skimpy ensemble that evokes the Child's Play villain, that being Chucky, his signature rainbow sweater and overalls with her blood artfully splattered across her face and body. Gawkers took issue with the influencer, saying that it's just disgusting. Let me show you a picture of her. Very, good looking girl, and she has that's period blood all over her.
I wish you could find it odd, but some people go to, when I was pledging my fraternity on Hell Week night, the night mm-hmm. it starts, they drove this big chronological list that we had into my dorm door with a huge K-bar, big knife. It was all written out. It was human blood.
Really?
One of the brothers who went to the medical lab, there's medical school there, drew his blood. And use that to draw the, or to write out all the instructions.
God. See, and by the way, this woman, Larissa,
mm-hmm.
she's been in the, you're familiar with the Miss Bum Bum competition? You ever heard of this?
Mm-mm.
It's Brazil's booty beauty pageant. It's Miss Bum Bum. It's actually, you might want to watch it sometimes. Her posterior allegedly measures 40 inches around, but she's got period blood all over her face and body now. Nice.
Mm.
Oh, here's the, let me show you the up-close picture here. It is nasty.
Yeah, why would you want to rub that on your face anyway?
Oh, God.
By the way. Really? Really?
Gross. Are we doing that now? Is that what we going to talk about this?
So what? What,
are you going to war? Huh? Is that your battle cry?
What?
Okay. I'm just, you continue this thing going on.
You just rub that on your face.
And then that look in your eye, it's like, you creepy son of a bitch.
I said, why would you?
Yeah, okay. By the way, an update from yesterday. Remember our Australian girl that had 101 guys in a day? And we were going, ooh, mm-hmm. what happens if you draw 99th? Like, what are you doing? Yeah, she's going to do it again, but she wants to have sex with like 900 people in one day. Like, what?
How?
It's usually missionary.
What was that advertisement for that clothing company? It was a jingle they had.
Gap?
Fall into the gap.
Yes. Oh my.
That's what you gotta do.
This story here, and I wanted to do this last because I don't know how many OnlyFans stories we've done in the world of stupid. Plenty of them, because there's always something goofy going on. And I think we were all shocked by the money they were making, right? Like, oh, can this be true? Well, Karina Kopf has announced her retirement.
What's her name?
Karina Kopf, K-O-P-F. She has announced her retirement from OnlyFans. She made $2.3 million a month at one point. Mm-hmm. She's made over $67 million in 3 years. And here's the best part of this, like, which kind of shocks me and I don't understand it. It's just, they're nude pictures. She's not doing anything else. It's right. Just, you know, you're getting boob shots and everything. Like, so when all that stuff comes down, that's realistically what people are paying for to see.
I'd like to see a tax returns. I mean, find it extraordinarily hard to believe.
I don't. Have you seen men?
Yeah, it's just.
Have you seen lonely men?
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like in other countries, but every time you go to a post, it's Bob's and Vagine. Yes. Bob's and Vagine.
To be honest with you, I'm not an OnlyFans guy. I don't have an account. But I would enjoy the pictures more than I do someone pleasuring themselves.
Well, thanks for sharing. Did this
talk? I would be the person enjoying looking at the pictures first. So that would be my market.
No, but I get it. But like, again, I'm fine with any of that stuff. But you got to pay extra for the videos.
Yeah,
that's the it's different when you look at some of this stuff. Like people posing in Playboy, used to happen all the time. Mm-hmm. Things are a little bit different now. But it is interesting to see all these people taking, depending on how much you think they're making. Taking this opportunity and being their own boss and making this much money. The only thing I worry about are the people that are going, all right, let's see what's out there for me. And then all of a sudden you're like, $13 last month, that's it? You just showed every single orifice on your body for $13 and then you retire. I think there's a lot of that going on.
I think there is.
Well, you make $13, you're not retiring, you're quitting. There's a difference.
It's forced retirement.
Yeah.
But do you guys want to see pictures of her?
I did.
I mean, she's dressed, but let me...
You see the bikini pictures of her? She's an incredible body. Yeah. Oh, there she is, yeah.
See?
Yeah.
That would be my market.
She's, very attractive.
So, Joe, how much does it cost to subscribe to her site?
I'm trying to figure that out. I think she actually already took her OnlyFans down, so I can't see the page.
Because like,
it's probably like $50 or $60 a month if you're making that much money.
You think so?
Bad Baby or whatever her name is, she was charging like $100 a month.
Was she really?
Yeah, and that's how they make so much money is because it's not like $10 at a time here, $20 at a time here. It's really expensive.
Yeah.
So, wow. It's Bad Bobby. Catch her outside. How about that? She's back out with a new rap
$100
too. Well, and by the way, she was also, she was one of the girls that was at a Halloween party where another streamer got punched.
Mm-hmm.
Remember all this stuff going on there? Was it the Jack Daugherty kid or somebody else? I think it was him. One of his security guards punched some guy she was with and just laid his ass out. And this is what's going on. All these, we have now streamers, influencers, all these people that are making so much money. People are making money off of playing video games. All these things as kids you were told, don't waste your time.
So think about this. Bad Barbie, mm-hmm. who made a big name for herself, huge name for herself. Joe said $100 a month, right? $100 a month, Joe?
Something like that.
Let's go modest. Let's say she had 100 followers. We know she had more than that.
Oh, yeah.
But let's just say she had 100. That's 10 grand a month.
Yeah, I guess.
So I can see where the money is because you know good and well she had more than 100 followers.
Well,
she had thousands.
Just because of the name that she created for herself.
Well, that's your world of stupid. And by the way, if you want to see I posted the two stories with Karina Kopf and also, the lady in the Chucky Halloween costume with all over her. At JCon Sports, if you want to follow.
Thank you very much. Shovels at 8:15. Mike Preston at 8:30. But on the other side, Yankees Dodgers, a record 12th time, playing in the Fall Classic World Series preview up next on The Fan. Fall Classic begins tonight. Yankees Dodgers, ESPN radio coverage right here at 7 o'clock on 105.7 The Fan. But two historic franchises, let's not kid ourselves. Everyone in the world knows who the Yankees and the Dodgers are. The Yankees are probably, they're the most popular franchise in all the world, but the Dodgers aren't far behind that, Ed.
Nope, they're not, and I hate to do this, but you can tell when you've jumped, beyond sports, when companies like Gucci and that, they use your logo on their clothing.
Yeah.
And those are the two they always use.
Yeah.
Yankees and Dodgers.
And rightfully so. Mm-hmm. As much as we say we hate the fact that we have a Yankees-Dodgers World Series, Jeremy, the reason why baseball wins is because everybody's going to watch.
Yeah.
Because it's Yankees-Dodgers. I hate it. They're in there. Let me watch it. That's what this is.
So, I mean, if you're a sports fan on a Friday night and you're not going out, or even if you're going out, you're probably going to keep your eye on the television if you're out at a bar and you're like, you know, a lot of people that are sports fans, you'll have your eyes on it. But I also think if you're home on a Friday night, what else are you watching tonight?
You spend 9 innings talking about how much you hate it.
Yeah.
Watch it. Yeah.
I hate this team. I hate this team too, but I hate them less than I hate this team.
Yeah.
I think the Yankees are live tonight. Again, minus. I said before the series started, I don't think Jack Flaherty is a good matchup for this Yankees team.
His velocity has dipped considerably, and they're worried about it.
His last start was really good. So I think that's why they're not concerned. I was surprised that they picked him as a game one starter, but then I look at him, it's like, I don't think Yamamoto's ready. So I guess you have to go to Flaherty in game one.
Well, this is what you have to ask yourself. Out of everyone in their rotation, who do you want to get the most opportunities in the 7-game series?
But
Flaherty.
Well, I think they want it to be Yamamoto, honestly, but they can't because he pitched game five.
Mm.
Yeah, I think
he's been hotter.
Yeah. Well, but I'm just saying, I think matchup-wise, because when Yamamoto's on, that's a different look that the Yankees haven't seen. Don't you think it's advantage pitcher if you've never seen him?
Absolutely.
So,
no doubt about it.
I think there's a little bit of an advantage there for the Dodgers with Yamamoto.
Pitching advantage early is like the defensive advantage in football.
Yeah.
You know, until you get used to things, pitching is always going to win when you're not used to
it. You got to make the adjustments to him. And that's why, like, I think sometimes having a vet coming over and saying, hey, look, this is what he likes to throw. The Dodgers have also been really good at picking out teams that are tipping pitches. As if you've watched them, remember they annihilated Yu Darvish in the postseason before when he was tipping pitches. It's happened with, actually, the Cardinals got the Dodgers the 1 year when Clayton Kershaw was tipping pitches and they lit his ass up. So it is weird. I was just talking to somebody in the hallway about the Dodgers specifically. Think about all that they lost and what they still have, because Clayton Kershaw went down. You know, we can go back as far as talking about Urias that they lost last year, young pitcher who domestic can't keep his hands off of women. Mm-hmm. So he's out of the league. You look at Tyler Glasnow was a big trade piece. Could you imagine having him right now?
Yeah.
And there was and Walker Buehler was out for a good portion of the season. He's back. He's not quite pitching the way that you expect Walker Buehler to pitch, but they don't have any other options.
That said, who has the better pitching starting staff?
In this series?
Yeah.
Starting staff is the Yankees, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a fan of the Yankee starters. I think Gerrit Cole is solid, don't get me wrong. I'm not the least bit afraid of Heel if they pitch him. I'm not the least bit afraid. I think Carlos Rodon gets annihilated by this team.
Cortez is going to be activated also for the World Series.
And here's the thing with Cortez. He's been phenomenal at home, very questionable on the road.
410-583-1057. Who wins this series, Ed, and how many games?
Ugh. God. All right, I'm going to go with the Yankees in six.
Yankees in six?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Yankees in five.
I think Yankees win tonight, Dodgers in six.
Okay, I hope you're right. Jeremy, please be right.
Dodgers crush left-handed pitching. And when you look at it, if the Yankees are going to trot out Nestor Cortez, Carlos Rodon in a series, plus the Dodgers have the better bullpen. I think the Dodgers are the better team. Yankees have better starting pitching, and it's like six in one half dozen in the other when you're trying to pick this, because I do think it's a 50-50 series.
My buddy Jules Smith, he's the one that got me this brother bracelet from New York. If you didn't know that, after being with him for 5 minutes because you're not listening, not because of his accent, because he'll tell you he's from New York 20 times in the first 5 minutes.
Has he ever been to Tampa Bay?
Probably so.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I think I will not be able to live with him. I didn't know him in 2009. I can only imagine how it would have been. I would not be able to live with him if the Yankees win the World Series. His head would be bigger than mine, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it, man.
I don't want him to do it.
It's kind of like when we wanted the Orioles to win a World Series, but we didn't want you to get a ring. It's not hating. It's just for our benefit.
Why did you not want me to get a ring?
Because we'd never hear the end of it.
I wouldn't say a word.
Yeah, you would.
No, I wouldn't.
You'd show that bitch
Look at Joe. Look at Joe. I didn't have to say a word. I just walk with my hand in front of me every day.
Well,
not say a word.
I think it'd be around your neck on a chain, but you know better than that.
Yeah, I said this.
Never, ever wear a ring around my neck.
I was surprised because I said that to him, and he did this. Look at his eyes. He did the same effing thing.
Ever wear a ring around my neck.
I wouldn't.
I would.
I would never.
I got fat fingers.
So do I. But
that's why you get a size for your fingers.
No,
that's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
It's no.
Really? That's the dumbest thing you've ever said?
Right.
You're missing. I played basketball my whole life, from jamming, breaking.
We didn't know that.
No, but I'm saying my fingers
My friend Julep from New York.
They're distorted. My fingers are distorted. They're like fat in the middle and skinny at the bottom. So any rings I put on just keep spinning. So I don't wear my wedding rings were rubber rings eventually because I couldn't wear a regular wedding ring. Screw you guys. You don't know.
Okay. Then why don't you wear a rubber wedding ring now?
Because, that thing started to irritate my finger.
Don't ask that on air. Don't ask that on air.
He mentioned it.
By the way, I am wearing it.
Keep it moving.
You are?
Yeah.
Where is it?
I'll show you in the break.
Ring size 9 and fits around that thing. Jesus.
It fits on my pinky and on that.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Shovels at 8:15, but on the other side, keys to victory for the Baltimore Ravens this weekend against the Browns up next on The Fan. Baltimore Ravens 5-2 on the year, headed to Cleveland to take on the Browns. Browns, not so good, 1-6 on the year. Ravens, 3-1 on the road. Browns, 1-3 on the road. Ravens, 1-0 in the division. Browns, 0-1 in the division. You get where I'm going with this, Ed Norris?
It's going to be a trouncing. What is it?
I'm just saying the Browns team's not very good.
Yeah.
Keys of the victory for the Baltimore Ravens for Sunday, Ed.
Just control the game. Do what you do best. Run the ball down their throat. Let Derek have a big day. I just think the Ravens will score a lot of points. I picked 34, but I can see them scoring over 40. I just think it's going to be a big game against this Cleveland team. It's just everything. Now I'm getting nervous, and I just said this. Everything's pointing in their direction. You know, angry fan base, angry players, just lost your quarterback. Ravens probably the best team in football. Here we go.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know what Ed means, I put it out a little bit earlier. This fan base probably a little bit upset with the players. Players calling out fan base overall. You can imagine the ones that had nothing to do with it feel some kind of way about it. I would love to be there to see the kind of reception the players got when they came out. Also, the city of Cleveland is about to sue the Cleveland Browns because the Browns, something they call the Modell Law. The Browns owners looking to build a dome just outside of 15 miles outside of Cleveland in a place called Brook Park. So Cleveland wants to sue the Browns. It's a lot of dysfunction going on around the Browns organization. I think the keys right now, again, I know it sounds boring, Jeremy Kahn. If all things are equal, the Baltimore Ravens will destroy the Browns. If the Ravens turn that football over and give the Browns extra opportunities, that game will be closer, if not losing that game to the Browns. The keys are to protect the football. Protect the football.
Yeah, and I think part of this, too, is like when you look at all the different things in this game, you would probably say you support the Ravens in every single matchup, whether right. it's special teams, offense, defense. And I know they're the back end of the defense hasn't been great, statistically showing. But I'd say this, though, looking at the matchup, you're right. If you go in there, I feel like if the Ravens lose this game, they've beaten themselves. I don't see any way the Browns just put it together and beat them. I think, and again, I'm not trying to be dismissive, but we know who the good team is here. One team has something to play for. The other one's season's over. It's over. So, it drives me nuts, too, because I don't know why fans would be mad at the players for yelling at fans for cheering someone's injury.
You're mad at your owner. Seriously.
Yeah. And again, it's not the guy you want to defend, but at the same extent, you don't root for people to get hurt.
No.
If it happens, it happens.
Well, I think some of the things that was said also about that player, when he said he's never got any trouble, he's always been a model citizen. And I think fans are like, huh? What are you kidding? So that kind of made fans air defensive, that in defending your quarterback, you said some things that weren't true.
Well, that's beyond not true. They're preposterous. I mean, you're saying things now that are just laughable. Look, I don't judge him at all. I don't know what happened. I always try to keep an open mind. I don't think the facts have ever been presented. But, I mean,
yeah.
You know, How could you possibly say that when you got like 20, 30, I can't remember how civil cases, how many he ended up having at the end? I think it was close to 30.
Well, I thought like 24, 25.
Something like that.
You know what's interesting is we all picked the total score, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the total's in this game if you haven't looked? Do you know what it is?
42.
44 and a half.
I didn't look.
Yeah, but like, again, seeing it that low leads me to believe that they think the Browns are going to have issues scoring because the Ravens aren't.
No.
I mean, again, even if the Ravens have what's deemed to be an off day, I think they can still get there. And
Jeremy, just real quick, my total is 40.
Yeah. Oh, you had a lower score. That's right. Yeah. You had them getting
31, 31, 9.
My total is 51.
And the reason why mine is low is because I don't have the Browns scoring, man. I don't think they're scoring on Sunday.
I think that's what the public thinks, too, is that they're not going to score. But I think this game goes over the total. I mean, I had 27-20, and I thought the Browns could keep it close, just understanding how things go. But, I mean, it's just funny to look at the matchup and go, I don't see any way that they beat the Ravens other than the Ravens beating themselves. As you said, stupid turnovers, yep. Bad penalties.
That's the only way they can do it, turnovers.
Yeah.
And, Bill Belichick said, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, there's one team that he sees beating the Ravens. One. The Ravens.
I think he said it Monday night.
Yeah, he did. He said one team beating the Ravens. That's right, during the telecast. He said there's one team that can beat the Ravens, and that's the Ravens. And I couldn't agree with him more. But we've seen them beat themselves before from the coaching staff. We've seen them beat themselves before on the field earlier on in Lamar's career.
So let me ask you this, and I know we're talking about this matchup and the keys of the game. Do you think it's imperative that they make a trade to better that defense, either as a pass rusher or someone in the secondary? Because this would be the year. Yeah, I mean, this would be the year to do it.
Yeah, it would.
Because you didn't, like, you missed out last year on, I don't need to say it again, one of the best teams I've ever seen play.
Yeah.
And you didn't win the whole thing. And then now you have what could be deemed the best offense in the history of the league when all said and done, which I don't know if it'll get there, but the fact that it's in the conversation, you'd sit here and go, okay, now what? You got to get something done. And if your defense is what's holding you back now.
If I were going to make a move, I think it'd be for a premier pass rusher. Premier. Not somebody, you know, like, no knock on Van Noy and Clowney when we got there. Later on in their careers, Van Noy's still playing well. But, I mean, someone now that's going to be with you for a little bit, but more than that, can give you 15 sacks this season.
Hassan Reddick?
Yeah.
Or Crosby, who I don't think is moving.
Crosby would be my pick.
I like Reddick as well. I don't think Crosby's moving.
I don't like Reddick because I was just reading something from the Jets, one of the guys that covers the team, and said Hassan Reddick, biggest fan, or like his favorite player is Hassan Reddick. And the only reason he agreed to sign back with the Jets is that he's going to go out and go for him. He's got an offseason where he's a free agent. And now he wants to go out and play his ass off, get as many sacks as he can. So I don't know if he's the type of guy to just sell out for himself because of the offseason, but he did just hold out this entire time.
What's he trying to do again?
To get paid, to get your big contract.
As many sacks as he can.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't care what your motivation is. You sack that quarterback, you help me, and you go on right off into the sunset.
It's not as easy as that, though, because if the defense schematically does not, if you have to set the edge as an outside pass rusher on plays, you got to set the edge. And then somebody else is making that play. And I think if you're being selfish in those moments, like how about a wide receiver that's trying to get all the yards he can and he's fumbling the football or staying in bounds instead of getting out of bounds?
And I hear you saying it, but I think in this world of everything being televised, I think just playing completely selfish and never setting the edge and totally going for yours, I don't think that's going to get you maximum money. I just don't. Okay. I think sometimes you're going to have to play it, some team football. I understand what you're saying, getting to the quarterback. I think when it's his turn to do it, he's going to go balls to the wall. But if he's going against the game plan to do it, word will get out. It'll hurt him financially. Let's go to Rosedale and get Antonio. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. DGIF and PYT.
That's right, brother.
My score prediction is 42-17 Ravens. Go Ravens. And you guys have a wonderful weekend.
You have a wonderful weekend as well. Antonio has a beat down, too. I think we can just drop the mic on that one. Shovels at 8:15, but on the other side, the Browns, D.C., local guy, Jim Swartz said, Lamar's changed from being a run-first quarterback that can pass to a pass-first quarterback that can make big plays with his legs. You all agree with that? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan on this fantastic Friday, 7:47 in the a.m. Home guy. From Lansdowne, right? Defensive coordinator Jim Swartz Yeah. Set Lamar's.
It's Arbutus guy.
Yeah, Arbutus. That's what it is. Arbutus. Yeah. In fact, I'll let you hear straight from the horse's mouth.
It's been pretty much over his career. You know, he's gone from a run first quarterback to a pass first quarterback that can make plays with his feet. Has a lot more quick throws in there. There's been times in the past that he sort of zeroed in on one receiver. You know, when you got good players, you want to zero in on one guy. But now he's spreading the ball around to a lot more people. Has that combination of getting it out quick, but he can also make a play when the play breaks down. And he threatens all 53 and a third, 110 or 120 yards of the field. You know, he's sideline to sideline, and he can go north-south in a hurry also. So they pretty much open the whole passing game up to him, you know, and he can rely on that, but he also has those legs that he can make explosive plays. I mean, I think he leads the NFL in explosive runs.
He's a problem, man. I mean, it's not – sometimes you hear a defensive coordinator say things about opposing players, quarterbacks, or whatever. I should say coaches in general. Last night, the Pitt coach was talking about how great the quarterback of Syracuse was. We haven't had a guy like that in this stadium in a long time. It's going to be trouble. And he throws three pick sixes. And the guy wasn't that good going in. You know what I mean? But this is not that coach's speak. This is 100% true.
I was going to say, I think it's the most fair assessment I've heard. It's straight down the middle. It wasn't coach speak. It's exactly what I saw. We all saw. You know, there'd be guys wide open that he didn't see because he wasn't looking. He'd focus. He'd lock in on Andrews or somebody else, mostly Andrews. Miss guys that are wide open in the end zone. Things like that happen frequently. He's matured. He's a professional. He's been in the league a long time. He's a real vet.
And Jeremy, wouldn't you agree? And I know you got a point. Wouldn't you agree? He said he makes quick throws. Quick throws come from knowing my offense.
Yes.
Quick throws to come from me knowing my teammates, and he's starting to do that now.
It's like when Happy learned how to putt. Uh-oh, you're in big, big trouble. And they are. The league's in trouble with the way that this cat's playing. Mm. This is the first time, too, honestly, this week that I realized I had so much in common with Lamar and Derrick Henry. Explosive runs. sorry, I had to throw that in there. But no, like you look at it, you love hearing that from another defensive coordinator. And when it comes down to Lamar, I don't think it's just coach speak anymore. This isn't Skip Holtz talking about the kick returner for, you know, Appalachian State or something. This is a defensive coordinator going, this guy is dangerous. When you hear Bill Belichick go on the broadcast and say, he's one of one. There's nobody like him. You can compare other people. That's why I get really angry when people start comparing him to guys that just got in the league or haven't even gotten the effing league.
Yeah.
Because the number, like, when people make cases for this stuff and start, sorry, did I just hijack this? When people make cases for this stuff, it's the dumbest things I've ever read. Like, he doesn't lead in this statistical category. He doesn't lead in that statistical category. He doesn't have more wins than this guy or that guy. So everything you want to look at, and they're like, well, check this pass, the evaluation of a pass play and attempts that go further than, I'm like, stop it. Watch the games.
Let's dig. Yeah, that's digging. That's when you talk to that guy, you just say, okay. You just walk away, okay. Because that's all you got. Like, he's not going to believe regardless of what happens. And guess what? I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care because if you want to be results-oriented or statistically-oriented, doesn't matter. Lamar checks both boxes, Ed.
He sure does. He does. So, you if you want to pick out a stat, last year was long ball percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's tough to pick on him because he's gotten much better in a short time. I'm with it. But guys in our industry do that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to make a case. They want to be, they want to fade. They want to fade the public. Whatever else thinks this guy's going to be the MVP again, they go against him. They find these obscure facts that you say, yeah, but see, look, he's not very good at this.
Yeah, pick a talking head. The ones that, remember when Ryan Clark said he would take Kyler Murray over Lamar? Where are we at now? How about all the other guys in that quarterback class and who you would take over them? I mean, they were just comparing he and Baker Mayfield this past week on Monday night, drafted in the same class, 30 picks apart, and you
both
see
Heisman
the difference.
Winners.
And my favorite thing now is if you still see people bashing Lamar, I feel like that they've drawn their line in the sand and they're not going past it no matter what you tell them. Mm-hmm. It's almost like politics nowadays because nobody's changing. Doesn't matter. Like, when you think of Lamar, you either think he's great or
awful.
That's
our climate. That's our climate. You watch sports, the national guys. Who's the GOAT? That means you're the greatest. Who's a bust? That means there's no in between.
Yeah.
We don't live in a gray area anymore. There's no gray. It's all black and white. And that's where you are when you stand on everything. Lamar's no exception because he's that lightning rod.
That's why I only stand on business.
Business?
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Do you agree with his assessment, though, Ed, when he says he used to be a run-first quarterback that can pass. Now he's a pass-first quarterback, could make the plays with his legs.
Yeah, I kind of do. Yeah, I think I would temper it a little bit. I think he was not always a run-first quarterback, but he ran a lot. He would take off much quicker when he first started because he knew he could. But I think he's become a much better passer. And I think that's the difference, where he's a much better passer, so he's a real threat in the passing game. And, of course, he's a real threat in the run game.
I understand why people are saying it. It's the one thing that I'll take an issue with of what Jim Schwartz said, because I don't think he's a run-first or a pass-first quarterback. I think he does whatever his team needs for him to try to win that game. And, you know, like, to me, that's – like, if you come into a game, everything's going to be predicated off the run for the Ravens because that's what you do best. So, and if you're winning the game, what else are you going to be doing? Running the football late, whether
can
it's
I compartmentalize
Lamar,
what he said?
Yeah.
I think if we could put it in a bubble, they call a pass play. I think he's saying Lamar Jackson used to drop back the pass looking for a reason to run. Now he drops back the pass looking to pass first, and if it's not there, run. I don't think he's putting Lamar in a box. I think he's compartmentalizing certain plays.
And say what you mean. That's this guy from our beauty.
You understand what I'm saying? I think he's compartmentalizing.
You should say what Jeremy said then.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, man.
I don't think he's putting Lamar in a bubble. I think he's just saying that when it's time to throw it, Lamar used to drop back the pass, and we know that, and look to run. You know, he wasn't first receiver. He's not open. I'm running. I think Schwartz is saying now that he drops back the pass and he goes through his progressions, and then when all else fails, then he'll run.
Right. Kind of like Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. It's everybody else's fault. Oh.
I just thought I'd bring it up for you.
Okay, thanks.
He's turning red. I got him a little bit.
That's good.
All you have to do is mention the name. It's like Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
You mention Aaron Rodgers, and all of a sudden his face gets a nice shade of cranberry.
No, look, I don't. Yeah, I do. I just like that guy. He's a jackass.
He's a jackass?
Yes, he is. It's never his fault. It's everybody else's fault. Never. Oh, my God. I can't believe you missed that pass. Well, it was 3 yards short. You ran the wrong route. Oh, okay. You got it.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. On this glorious, glorious Friday morning. Looks beautiful outside.
Don't you dare say Monday.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mike Preston joins us at 8:30, I should say. But on the other side, college football week 9, some big games upcoming. We'll take a look at them up next on the Fan.